What is going on, guys? It is your boy Kelly Mack on the track, and who work bring it back, and we are back with another episode of Straw Hat Sit Down 107.
Jeez. Let's get it.
I was right. Okay, yeah, 107. Yeah, there we go.
Yeah.
You know, it's a break, so it's been a minute. You know what I mean? But we here. I am here with the gang as usual. Now I'm saying that boy Straw Hat Mod in the building. What is going on, my brother?
Nothing much. It just feels good to be reviewing a chapter again. It feels like it's been forever, you know?
Yo, so. We're back, baby.
Yeah.
Off this 3-week break, finally back with another chapter, and we are here to break it down. You feel me? It's definitely going to be a lit episode for sure. Mr. G in the building. What's going on, my brother?
What's good, everybody? Yo, a few shout-outs. Blackhawk, hope your sister's doing well. Shout-out to the captain, Callie yes, Mack, for dropping his song, a banger single.
Indeed.
This toughest soldier. That shit was fire, bro.
Drop a single on us out on all streaming platforms. Anybody wants to check it out? It's called The Strongest Soldier. Much love.
That shit was so good. And then the Posey ending, I absolutely
shout out my guy Posey on the outro. That's my goat right there.
I'm excited for the album to drop.
Yes, sir.
And then another shout out to OPU. They had me 2 weeks ago on their stream, and as well as the same prior, I got to meet and talk to Randy Troy, who's one of the big YouTubers of One Piece. He's also a writer of the One Piece live action, which was pretty fucking cool.
That is cool.
To talk to him. So shout out to you, John Sherrod. You'll hit me up. You know, you Crow, Preach, Prince, Zane, like you guys, asked me to come on board that day, and that was awesome. I was not expecting that. And then, fun fact, Roger's Base was also on in the chat that same day, too, talking to everyone.
Sick.
So,
it's kind of nuts.
It was pretty nuts. So, shout out to you guys. I got the shirt, came in the mail the other day. I'm very excited, very comfortable. So, I'm very happy. Thank you guys from the guys over at OPU. You know, you do what you do.
Okay. All right. Big shout outs to OPU gang over there. You already know it's all love. Always welcome on this show. That shit is fire too. The shirt is actually pretty sick.
Yeah, super comfortable.
With all their drawings and stuff, and it's comfy too. That's nice. So we got to get that Straw Hat Sit Down merch coming in. Feel me?
We definitely
do. Coming soon. D3 is not in the building yet, but he will be here soon. He has kind of running a little late, but he will be here at some point. So we're gonna keep his seat warm. Chopper gonna keep the seat warm. You feel me? Which leaves last but not least, of course, that boy, the man himself, Y to the Huss.
What's going on, man? I'm excited to be here. Chapter, man, a good one, in my opinion. We might have some disagreements, but we'll see.
Yeah, that shit was kind of mid to me, but it's cool. It's cool.
It's all good, man.
Oh, no.
We gotta commend the bravery of our captain to be so wrong.
You know what it is? You know what it is? It's not a bad chapter, but I think the past 10 or so chapters have been like 10 out of 10. So I think I'm just a tad bit underwhelmed.
Especially for a chapter to come back to.
Especially coming off of a 3-week break. I think that also has something to do with it. You have set certain expectations after not seeing One Piece for so long. I'm fiending over here scratching my neck for a new chapter, you know? So
It's true.
Didn't exactly live up, but you know, that's just me being a little biased. You know, expect
some hater.
Yeah, you know, some hater. You gotta be a hater. Somebody gotta be a hater. Feel me? Be too positive sometimes. You know what I mean?
D3 not here. Someone has to
pull the shoes. You know what I'm saying? You feel me?
Terrible.
Yeah, we are back with a new chapter. We got a chapter review as usual. Y'all ready to get into it? Let's get into it.
Hell yeah.
Let's do it. Chapter 1112, Hard Aspects. Quick note on the title. Aspects has something to do with stars, solar system, planet alignment, something like that. I read it somewhere.
Yeah, I actually bookmarked the Library of O'Hara tweet about this, and it's an astrological term that refers to the belief that the planets aligning in a certain way leads to trouble in life. And obviously, the five other planets are the Gyros, the Goros, are going crazy in this chapter. They're setting up,
leading to trouble. So that definitely makes sense. Okay. Interesting choice of words there from Oda. We also get a continuation of the cover story. We get Yamato thinking or happy about leaving. So what the title is, you can have that parting gift, Yamato, as long as you do something for me. So we know, I guess Yamato is leaving from the last cover story, right? Where yeah, she think, said she was trying to get out of there.
Yeah, I think Yamato's doing their pilgrimage around Wano.
Right.
Yeah, so, so
this is dude, why is dude's name escaping me? Kinemon.
Kinemon.
Kinemon, damn, you leave Wano for a year, you just forget everybody. That's tough. Like, if the guy wasn't with us for a whole 7 years. All right, whatever. You know, so Kinemon is giving Yamato something. So, well, my confusion here is this something that he wants to be delivered somewhere, or is this, like, money to for her travels? Like, I'm a little bit confused here.
I have no idea.
All right, cool. Yeah.
All right, cool. Apparently the letter just says parting gift, so.
So like, it's, really so then we can, if it's a parting gift, we can assume it's a gift for Yamato specifically.
Yes, 1,000%.
Yeah,
okay. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's okay. A gift for her while she, I has guess, to has something. To do something for him.
Yeah.
Okay, so yeah. He'll ask her to do something along their journey. Okay, all right, cool. I guess we need more information. I need too much to talk about here.
Yeah. Yeah.
Alrighty, let's get into the chapter.
Let's go.
We start off with all of the Pacifista Mark III's neutralized by horse guy.
Venus.
Yeah, Venus. Okay. Sure. we have the Navy still surrounding the island. Buster Call still in place. Their goal right now is to try and make sure that Emperor Strat Luffy and the rest of his compadres do not escape, including Jewelry Bonnie. Venus is cursing Vegapunk for giving Bonnie the power to destroy entire nations at 12 years old. As he's running around trying to get rid of all the pacifistas. We cut to the giants who are trying to get back to the ship after they've all been recalled. Once their mission was completed, the Navy is trying to sink the Elbaf ships from returning, leaving, escaping. It's a mess right now. There's a whole lot going on. We then cut to where we left off last chapter with Franky's group running into some of the Vice Admirals. Franky himself is jumping into a one-on-one with this guy, whose name I don't know.
Bigfoot. Long
okay,
neck.
Bigfoot. Whatever. I don't think I asked him his name because he literally gets one shot immediately next panel, so I don't think I had to know his name anyway.
No, don't do him like that. Wait, come like on.
He's kind of spitting, I don't know.
this is crazy, dude. Like, this is a vice admiral getting completely and utterly annihilated in one punch by the sixth man of the group. Like,
that's crazy.
Sixth man, damn. Hey, wait, hold on. Let me hold on. Wait. Let me count real quick. Luffy, Zoro.
He might be sixth man.
Jinbei, Robin.
I'll put Robin over him.
Yeah. Oh no, he is the sixth man. Literally.
That's crazy. Wow.
Yeah. Oh. Vice Admiral stocks are in the mud right now, I'm not gonna lie.
I mean, in the Vice Admiral's defense, that's one, the Yonko crew, and
that's true.
And we passed the point where Vice Admirals should give Straw Hats like a significant challenge. I would say the Vice Admiral should around compared to the Toby Robo, maybe like around that sense. I don't know who would be stronger in that battle, but like, point is that we were worried about Vice Admirals back in like before Dressrosa. Dressrosa, yeah. like that was when Vice Admirals were a little bit more of a threat because of Law and Smoker, who was a Vice Admiral, and what's his face, Virgo, who was a Vice Admiral, and so yeah, we passed that point though. So
that's fair. That's definitely very fair. I just think it's funny that he got like not a single fight was put up.
Just one punch, bro.
I will say there are some Vice Admirals that are way stronger than some of the other Vice Admirals. Definitely. Like there are some like that you don't fuck with. Like they are them.
Yeah, I'm sure. It doesn't look like they're on this island, but sure. But who knows?
I wonder how strong Gaul is.
Yeah, because there's still like seven or eight other Vice Admirals.
Yeah, I don't think a lot of them will matter. I just ones I think we gotta keep track of is Dahl, who's with that person Bluegrass, the one that can control machines.
yeah,
or whatever. Because like they split off to like go do something or like go somewhere. Yeah. So like that may they might be the only vice admirals left that are going to be important.
That's fair. Right. That's definitely fair. Okay. Yeah. So this guy gets one shot. This is when Bonnie also jumps in the fray to take care of the other vice admiral, I believe. Is that another one of the vice admirals? Or is that just
I can't
tell the difference between vice admirals and Potter. That's crazy.
I'm not lying. You threw that lob to yourself off the backboard.
It's crazy. So Bonnie jumps into the fray. The guy steps in to try and stand up to fight, but all Bonnie does is touch him, turn him into a baby, and then proceeds to kick the ever-living shit out of this baby. I ain't gonna lie, I was dying laughing when I saw this shit. Like,
that was nuts.
She really kicked the shit out of a baby. Like
that. Yeah, that is actually insane. Like, the baby can't do anything, and she kicked the shit out of the baby.
Insane is the word, honestly.
We even have one of the, I believe this is, I don't know, it's one of the giants, right?
Yeah.
Saying to stop, this looks wrong. Like, you're kicking the shit out of a baby. Come on. Bonnie does not.
Yeah.
And I don't believe she's going through a lot.
Yeah, but if you think about it, Bonnie's also a child too, so it's not.
That's fair. That's very fair. Yeah. Bonnie herself is a kid, so this is just
violence. Yeah, but optically, this just doesn't look right. She at this point looked like a grown woman kicking what appears to be like a child, even though. Funny enough, realistically, the lot it should be reversed, right? Like she's a child hitting an adult in all technicality, a child hitting an adult.
Yeah. Yeah, it's funny scene from Oda. We cut back to the lava phase where we go back to the broadcast. Vegapunk's talking about drinking coffee, sensitive tongue, nonsense, whatever. But we do find out that there are 4 more minutes left by this point in the chapter, so we are now 4 minutes away. We get bird person
Mars,
thank you. We get Mars pulling up with York to the area where the message is being recorded. Once Mars confirms that this is the area, he immediately blasts the place to bits. York tries to stop them and let them know that there's a lot of flammable explosive material and punk records is right above them. So to just willy-nilly blast everywhere is not a smart idea. Mars asks what they should do instead, and this is when York says, I know where it is, how to stop it, whatever the case may be. This is when Mars senses the transponder snail that's giving off the transmission inside of Punk Records. We find out that this is where a new type of transponder snail is, the one that is giving off the broadcast. Mars is on his way up there.
Insane hockey feat right there, no? Like, observation to just find one snail out of all the people on the island. That's a little, it kind of jumps out at me.
You really feel like that's insane?
I'm
not going to lie to you.
I think it's something, like a little bit like, whoa, damn, you got that on you?
Like detecting a life force type of
like
thing.
Like a small, like, yeah. Like
pointing it.
Fucking snail. Yeah, it's like right above you. Because there's a lot of people on the island. There's all the combatants. There's a lot of hockey flying around. Luffy and the other Gorosei. I thought it was a little.
I'll give you some credit because I think the terminology he uses here is interesting. Saying that he senses the voice of a small creature. Like,
yeah, well, that's hockey. That's just like I don't know. I feel like it's a substitute for hockey because, like, a lot of
things about that. That's some hockey thing.
I think there's a slight distinction between hockey and like voice, right?
I would agree. They always say that. If Law didn't say that back in
Dressrosa
about even I remember about Wano when Luffy dies to Kaido and he's like, yo, I don't hear Straw Hat's voice anymore.
Yeah. That's the only reason.
Because that nigga definitely does not have the voice of all things, respectfully.
It's not the first time they use. They always interchange. They always throw in voice when they're using observation hockey. And They always say that. That's still different than the voice of all things. But I will say, like, we've seen people detect others with observation hockey, even with like a lot going on or like sensing other people. That's like a very basic application of observation hockey. Just like with Rayleigh, he sensed that whole island that Luffy trained on, all the creatures, and he was like, you basically using my observation hockey, I can sense that there are like 100 creatures here that are strong, that are stronger than you. So that means he must have also sensed the creatures that were weaker than him too, right? So like, I don't know.
I didn't even remember like that exact line.
Yeah, he was like, there's 100 creatures here stronger than you currently, at your current level. Like, so...
Okay, that's fair.
Yeah.
That's definitely fair. That's fair.
I guess we should talk about the line, though, that Yorick says. Yes. About not adding up crimes, and it'll make it harder to get along with you folk. And I assume you folk is Imu and the Gorosei, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt like the TCB might have broken our ankles a little bit with the idea of the word sin and the fact that it was in quotation marks. Now I read that and I'm like, you know what? That's not that bad. Like, crime upon crime, you want to get along with Imu. It's not like that important of a line. Now I'm starting to think other people might be right about the fact that Mars's shock was about Mars's reaction is about the snail that he beats up. Yeah. TCB breaking our ankles as usual.
TCB saying the word sin in quotations definitely made it seem like there was something
at play.
I definitely remember seeing one of the big theories over the weekend was that sin specifically meant that there was another Vegapunk to represent the seven deadly sins. And that would be the last Vegapunk hiding, defending the transponder snail. Which, you know, may not be 100% false still, but there's definitely the getting hung up on that specific sentence definitely isn't necessary anymore. It looks like it's just talking about crime will make them look bad in terms of
Inimu's eyes,
the government, the Gorosei, etc. Not much to talk about. We go back to inside the lab, and we have Stussy and Kaku still behind while everybody else is spread out across the island trying to escape. They have a little conversation about the Gorosei that they saw. Then Kaku asks if Stussy was abandoned, but Stussy lets him know that staying behind was her idea, that there's one more job that she has to carry out. Which we then find out is to lower the Frontier Dome. Which is established, it can only be opened from within. So in order to lower it so that they can escape, somebody has to stay behind and lower it, which Stussy volunteered to do.
What a real one.
Yeah, she's a real one for that, 100%. Definitely the GOAT. They all decide to make right by her sacrifice. They gotta escape. They gotta do what they gotta do. They still have the issue of how are they going to get the ship flying across the entire island into the bay, because their original plan was to use the Vegapunk bot, which has since been destroyed by Kizaru. So they decide to just wing it, because why not? We're the Straw Hat crews. We're Yonko crew. Fuck it, right? So they decide to just coop the burst as far as they can and then rely on their powers to get however the rest of the way. This makes a dude whose name escapes me.
Edison.
Thank you. I'm so bad with names, yo. This makes Edison commend them and appreciate their ability to, you know, just move how they move in such stressful situations. And he's inspired. And in his inspiration, he jumps off the bridge. He jumps off the island and blows himself up. So here goes that. I'm not 100% sure on what his plan was here.
I think to make a hole in that lower area so that they don't burn.
Is that how the Frontier Dome works?
I don't know.
I don't think there was a hole when when Bonnie got thrown through, or Luffy, or anybody else that's exploded through.
I think the front two dorm are just sensors, and when the sensors pick you up, you get pelted by lasers from the island.
But I don't know that the thing though is that I think the bottom is different because it looks like a grid. It doesn't. Yeah, like, I don't know if it, you know what I'm saying? Like,
but that was, what's his name? One of these CPs, Kaku, flew above it, and he went through it, and then he got cooked by the lasers when they first got here. That vision of him, like, looking down at the island, I think that was that panel. That's the first thing he does.
I think he did. No, wait, didn't he come, flying back down when he got exploded?
Yeah, he got shot by them, and then he dropped right back down because he couldn't get past lasers. Okay. But he did get, like, up to the Frontier Dome.
Yeah, I do not understand his plan here. I'm not gonna lie.
There's something more.
Edison believes that, like, his body could explode. You know what I'm saying? Like, maybe there's an explosion with him. I don't know. Like, that was a big ass explosion from a little ass robot. But
you know what? Go
ahead.
I think he did something though. I think this is misleading because I mean, he said projected damage is 78%. I ain't dying, not yet. So clearly he don't think that he's going to die here. He might be in critical condition, but like, I don't think he's dead here. Yeah. And maybe that explosion is something else that he did while crashing into the dome. I don't think he thought that himself going through it head first, you know, creates an entry point for some weird reason.
Yeah, I definitely think the explosion is the end goal of what he's trying to do. I think
why is not.
It isn't. The explosion is not the end goal. Yeah, I think you're on the right track. Agree. I think that, especially considering the fact that he simulated the damage and he recognized that it won't kill him, I think that he's trying to do something outside the dome.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah.
I'm 50-50 on it. Go ahead.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I was gonna say, like, the question is, like, how is he gonna land, all that stuff. What is he gonna do when he gets down there? We just have to see, like, that chapter. Honestly,
my thing is, could you not just lower the dome since you're already in there and then just jump out? But I guess that's not plausible at this point because they're already all outside it on the ship.
Yeah, and they know there's a monster, aka Mars, because of what Sanji told them. So I'm assuming they don't want to go back and die.
Yeah, I guess they don't want to just. They don't want to lower the dome. Oh well, no, but they had wait. Okay, now I'm confused because they have Stussy there, and they have to be in contact with Stussy in some way, shape, or form, because she has to know when to lower the dome.
Mm-hmm. Does it matter when she lowers it at this point, or is she trying to just lower it ASAP?
So that's what I'm thinking, right? If it's like, is there a reason why they don't want to just lower the dome immediately? Like,
I don't think we know. Does it say when she has to do it? Exactly. I think she's just doing it like as soon as possible, because like at this point it doesn't matter. At this point it doesn't matter. Like, they have nothing to protect anymore. They've forsaken the lab, and as soon as Stussy can crack, like, you know, do the code or whatever, I don't know if we have the reason to believe that there's like a moment, you know what I mean?
Okay, I was gonna ask because she should have been doing it, but I didn't realize in these panels that she was.
She's messing with it.
She's doing it right now. Okay. So she probably is trying to do it immediately, as soon as possible.
Yep.
Yeah, so his mm-hmm. job, I think his job definitely has nothing to do with the barrier. I think it definitely has something to do with...
Getting through?
Yeah, getting through something on the island that's going to help them cross.
Yeah, because he says, I'll make sure your ship touches down in the water. Yeah. Like, he has some sort of plan.
Now I'm thinking about it, my guess would be maybe another Vegabot, a hidden one.
Maybe. He might also maybe want to mess with the giant. The ancient giant robot or whatever.
Who knows? That's true. Yeah, there's a mystery play here. We gotta see more to see what.
Yeah, there's like so little to work on.
Yeah, gotta see what Edison is cooking. All right, now back to Luffy, Dory, Froggy, and a couple of the elders. Well, one of the elders. Right now, they have the sandworm in front of them.
Dune, yeah, Jupiter.
Jupiter. And he is sucking the life out of the entire island. He's just activated the vacuum mouth, and it's just there's no way to say this and not sound crazy. Like, there's literally no way to say that this doesn't sound crazy.
Oh no!
but everything's getting sucked in. They're all trying to Dory Brock and Luffy are trying to outrun it, but it's too powerful. They can't. So Luffy, ever the quick thinker, decides to break off a building and launch it into the worm's mouth, completely incapacitating it, or at least stopping it from continuing to vacuum.
Mm-hmm.
He does that, but this is the extent of his gear 5 for now. This is the second time using it, so he's depleted of energy
for a grand total of 3 panels.
For 3 panels, because once he mentions that he needs food, Dorian Braggy to the rescue with the emergency rations, fermented shark.
Yep. Oh,
yeah, that sounds kind of nasty, but. And I think Luffy says the smell is nasty, but
yeah,
he definitely scarfs it down and immediately gets his energy back.
Funny enough, if anyone knows anything about hunting, like a lot of game has a weird smell, or kind of like a strong foul smell before. Well, I think even after cooking it too, it has a weird foul smell, but it's still like tasty or whatever. So I kind of appreciate the realism of that. That's pulled that out.
It was a bit further even. Like with I know in like northern parts of Canada and like cold places, they really do take I know it's with, I think seal meat or whatever, they tie it up in bags and like bury it under the snow for like a long while. And that's like fermented, basically shark, but it's more like seal or some other animal, like sea animals. So yeah, they really do this shit. It's crazy.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
So that's actually a little nod to like how the culture of Elbaf, of how they deal with like their food and stuff like that, which I kind of appreciate. I'm like, oh, okay, Oda. Okay, yeah, I see. Cool.
Nice. I think also, with my bad, Mister. Go ahead.
I was just gonna say because Ohara also. I just bookmarked it a few hours ago. Harkul is a Scandinavian dish from Viking culture, which is the fermented shark with the famous strong smell. So, with infamous strong smell. So, you know, Oda doing his research, always, you know, flexing that shit.
Yeah, I think people like we always talk about how like I've heard a lot about how like Oda's always been so inspired by Vikings. People talk about that one cartoon he watched as a kid, or apparently, Vicky the Viking. Yeah. So. It's cool, like, or it's kind of like a like fanboying, you know. He's like, yo, I'm ready to talk about them finally, you know. 27 years in the making.
Yeah. Also, yeah. I have a real quick question for y'all. So when it comes to Gear 5th, I understand that when he eats, he, you know, he's rejuvenated stuff. Do y'all think this kind of works different than the other gears? Like, I never seen Luffy have to eat and then he's just back like ASAP, yeah. Right? Like. Yeah. Even before with Gear 4th and with Gear 4th, it was a hockey problem and food didn't
he needed matter. Time, right?
Yeah, he needed time. Where it's like, and then before when his other gears, so each gear had a different drawback. With Gear 2nd, he shrunk. Oh no, Gear 3rd, he shrunk. Gear 2nd was probably closest to this, maybe, but he was just exhausted. Or just lower on like energy than he was before, which I guess food would help him then too. But it seems that like Gear 5th, like it does more than what Gear 2nd ever did in the other ones, because it feels like he looks like an old man because it's like he's sapped of nutrients.
Mm-hmm.
And so he has to eat to look like himself again and get back energy more so than any other gear I think he ever had to before. But I was just wondering what y'all think about that. Like,
nah, that's facts, bro. I think I find it funny because like I was joking about how because Cali said I wonder if Luffy will run out of Gear 5. I think last chapter he said that, and I was like, nah, he's not gonna run out of Gear 5, and then he did. So I think, and but I said, I was joking. I said Oda makes this shit up because like 2 panels later he eats like a, you know, a big piece of shark and he's good. But last time he ran out of Gear 5, it was a ton of food. First time he used it, he's out for weeks. So yeah, I think he's Gear 5 is a weird thing that like I can't wait to like figure out more about like what exactly are the restrictions, what does it do to Luffy, etc. So yeah, it's definitely a weird enigma of itself for sure compared to the other gears.
at this point, Luffy needs to like keep like some shit in his pocket in case whenever he goes Gear Fifth, and then like, you know, whenever he runs out, he can just quickly get himself like eat a snack or something.
Yeah, he'll probably pull out a grill out of thin air somehow.
That'd be funny. If I was him, I'd keep a few pieces of these Harkle though, because I also feel like because it's a giant's ration, so if it filled him up faster, and gave him more energy. So if he just takes one bite of this shit and he's good to go, then he should just keep a few on hand, just in case, like little sensu beans.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're right. Maybe he'll learn this at Elbaf, like, you know, take some giant rations or giant food and then like keep that in his personal.
That'd
be fire.
That would be interesting if that became like an actual mechanic. Well, I guess it's already a story mechanic, but like to the point where he like keeps it on him and like replenishes mid battle like that, that'd be cool. That'd definitely be cool.
Yeah, because that could solve the issue, because we don't know, right, if he's going to ever solve the Gear Fifth issue. Like, hell, I don't even know if he solved the Gear Fourth issue yet. But like, yeah, if he don't, this is could be a slick way of making it so that he don't technically have to, in the sense, like, it's not rather, oh, get good at Gear Fifth. It's more like, okay, Gear Fifth is just too taxing, so I'ma just prepare for it, you know, type thing.
Yeah, that's definitely fair. Alright, yeah, so he eats the food, he's rejuvenated, and just in time because the boar is on its way. I don't remember which planet this is.
Mercury.
There we go.
I'm only gonna call him Mercury, man. The Mercury's like freaking. Why didn't we break it for this one anyway?
Yeah.
I'm a rat.
John's, so, that's top man right there, bro. Top
true,
man.
True. That's John's boy.
I'm crying. Yeah. So Mercury is charging headfirst at them. Luffy, newly energized, lunges at the boar. And charges up a gum red rock straight to the boar's top head, to the top.
Word of
the
to Kaido, head. Too. Word this was like that was opening move versus chapter 1000.
That was the chapter 1000 move right there. This is the move that made Kaido land on his feet, start bleeding. Unfortunately, it did no such thing to this Gorosei member. Luffy's hand bounces off and is in complete pain. Wriggling in pain. Mind you, this is a haki infused giant fist.
Yep.
So yeah, that armor is whatever armor they have. He has on that. It's pretty rough. It's pretty rough.
Yeah, because Red Rock has Rio, right? It has Rio application.
I don't know if I'm not mistaken. Rio, because I don't think he used Rio on that first hit, did he? In chapter one.
Yeah, that's what made it so exceptional.
You're right. Pardon me. You're right.
Yeah, because that's why Kaido was looking like that, and Big Mom was like, what the, like, Kaido, what are you doing? And that's where, like, Kaido, you know, gave his top five, and it was like, you trying to compare to these dudes? You trying to compare to them? Like, you think you them?
My top five is rocks, and rocks.
All right, and then Kaido gave us his tier list at that moment. He was like, you think you on that tier? You think you down?
What are we thinking about this armor?
I thought it was interesting seeing that Red Rock, that Luffy's burning right now with flame, because we've seen him with fire before, and he's been okay.
Yeah,
this is the first time that you actually see him, like, his hands burning, right?
Is it his hand burning?
That's an after effect,
yeah,
right?
I feel like it's just an after effect from using the fire.
Yeah, because Red Rock is the tier 3 version of Red Hawk, right?
Agreed.
But what if this guy's flame is so, like, because they deal with the devil, it's like a different type of fire type of shit, you know?
He has flames?
Yeah,
you can see the flames on Luffy's punch. Yeah. That's where it starts.
But you also see flames on Mercury, on Mercury too.
Yeah. Oh, like near the side of his head, I do see that shit. Yeah.
Why would it only be with Mercury? Because he's definitely been hitting all the other Gorosei members.
Is that him or the... What the? What is that flame? I don't know if I've seen this before.
There's flame behind him,
What are you looking at?
Like, Yeah, there's flames like near like on his beside his ears, you know, like that flame right there. I wonder if that's the island. Or... I
see that. But I thought that was just the background.
Me too. I gotta look at this dude more.
It's hard to tell. You're right. You might be right, but like.
But yeah, like,
but they made it.
Hand. Yeah, I would assume it's.
I don't think it. I'll just be clear. I don't think even if that was the case, I don't think that's what it is because they commenting on how hard his skin is.
Yeah,
so regardless, and the way he's looking too, it makes me think that it's not like typical Kaido shit. Like Kaido had the biggest durability, but I don't. And this is a durability feat, but it's a durability feat that feels kind of different. You know what I mean? Like it feels like he can't touch him because there's a specific reason why. Did he have this issue in Gear 5th when he was attacking him? Yeah.
So I was thinking. I think it's because
did Luffy punch? No, we're talking about Walkery.
Yeah, Walkery. I'm not sure if he got much versus him, but I'm not gonna go back.
Because if Luffy was Gear 5, because he's like the sun, right? I'm just thinking like, what if? Because Mercury, right? He's Mercury's closest to the sun. Like that's why he has a higher heat, and that's why Luffy's not able to handle it in a under Gear 5 type of shit. Because again, Ohara, yo, Ohara's on the thing, bro. They said Fang the 11th is a mystical boar known for being clad in flames and having incredibly tough skin. This is mainly the reason why Luffy's unable to deal damage to Mercury, even with Red Rock being overpowered by heat.
Wait, what are you reading right now?
Ohara.
A tour library of Ohara. He's like breaking down the chapter on his Twitter as always.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I guess yeah, and then I guess we get proof of that with the tough skin. And honestly, like despite the fact that Luffy already had fire on his arm, I looked at Mercury in other chapters, and yeah, there's clearly fire all around him. And if it's one of the things of the things he's based on in the like folklore or whatever, yeah, I could see the fire being a for Luffy, so yeah, it could be a lot of fire. I'm leaning towards the haki though, which I do think is crazy. I think
that the fire can be from the Gorosei, but I don't think that that's the reason that Luffy is screaming in pain right now. Yeah, the fire can be from the Gorosei, but yeah, especially considering Luffy has ran through fire plenty of times before. Well, not plenty of times. I'm specifically thinking of versus Big Mom and Kaido.
He just
tanked the shit out of being on fire.
That's my goal.
Right. Man. Oh, yeah. That infamous scene where...
That shit was fire.
Yeah, that was funny. Kaido was like, how you take my boral breath? God. He said guts. Like,
come on.
That was a bar.
Oh, man. Yeah.
So the Walkery has, regardless, Walkery has probably has some insane defenses. He's probably the tank of the group, so I would assume that he probably has the highest defense of all the Gorosei.
Yeah.
Probably. Yeah.
I wouldn't assume that all the Gorosei have this same durability.
No. You know what? Just, you're right.
Luffy was fucking dealing with Saturn.
Yeah. Saturn was getting not even just with how did I forget? Frankie punched this dude and it was fine. But like, he
definitely punched Saturn and sent him sliding away. You're right.
Yeah. That's how. Yeah. So yeah, it's probably a Mercury. You know, uniqueness.
Yeah.
It's definitely fair.
He needs Conqueror's Haki.
He gotta get that Gear 5 back.
He can do it without it. See, this is my problem with Oda, bro. Oda, you stop acting like Luffy just suddenly can't do Conqueror's Haki coding without Gear 5, bro. Like, come on.
Is that not what Red Rock is?
That's Rio.
No, Red Rock is just fire Gear 3 with regular Haki. We just don't, or Rio actually, but. Like, I feel like we always say, like, it's never clear when Luffy's using Conqueror's Haki, or anyone else.
I've always thought that Ryo was Conqueror's Haki, was literally Conqueror's Haki, just wanted to call it different.
Nah.
You're thinking armament.
Like how Skypiea calls
Mantra.
Activation Haki Mantra.
You would be spitting if you substitute Conqueror's for armament.
I could have sworn that if... Alright, I could be, but I'm wrong.
Nah, these Red Scabbard niggas can use it, but that's how you know it's not Conquerors.
Yeah. And the thing is, because the thing is that you would be technically correct that Ryo is just a substitute for like what armament hockey is in their culture. But when they talk about it, they are talking about the advanced application as well. They bunch all that together as Ryo. So the community, to make the distinction between regular armament hockey and what they do, their advanced level 3 armament, we just call that Ryo, since that's what they call it too. They call everything that.
It's just the internal damage thing.
Yeah.
That's why well, Akeem was like,
oh, I understand what Ryo is, you know what I'm saying? I just related it to Conqueror's hockey.
Just remember that Scrubs can use it.
I literally could have sworn that there was a scene where I think it was the old man from the
Prince. Yeah, he overall
specifically said compared it to Conqueror's hockey, like said Conqueror's hockey. But I could be wrong. I could just be misremembering, which is fine.
Yeah, because Luffy, when he finally did it against Kaido, he was like, oh, I realize I've been too shallow, or my head's been too shallow. Even Kaido said the same sentiment back at the Red Scarabs when towards the end of the fight, he said, y'all's attacks are nothing like Odin. Y'all's are too shallow.
Yeah.
And they've been using Ryo the whole time and not advanced Conqueror's Haki. So that implies that you need advanced Conqueror's Haki and not Ryo to damage someone of that caliber. Or to not damage, but to actual do like real lasting damage, like actual impactful damage to him. And I'm just saying, we seen Luffy do it in base.
Yeah, no, 100%. Yeah, 100%.
Like, oh my goodness.
Gotta sell them Gear 5 toys, man.
Bro. Oh my goodness. Oda should have never set it up like this then.
hey, bro. Transformations is the way of the shonen, bro.
True, I guess.
It's the way of the shonen. All right, let's wrap it up. We only got a little bit left.
Right.
Now, Luffy and the Giants are trying to figure out how they will take on / escape Wookiee. The rest of the Gorosei are also keeping themselves busy. We have Saturn climbing up to the top of the Labosphere, where we have Usopp, Nami, and Chopper defending the ship. On the northeast side, what's this panel before Horse Dude shows up?
It's a back image of the giant getting cut. Yeah. And Venus is cutting him.
Oh, okay, and I see. It's the giant that was holding Kuma is getting cut. Yeah. Or is it the one that was holding Kuma?
It's the one next to
it. It might be both of them, actually. But
all right. I see they're getting cut, and then you can see their legs in the background. They fall as
he
pulls up on
them. Can we just say for a quick moment that that image is fire?
Yes.
Like that looks like... Bruh, that looks like a fucking distant ass samurai coming to kill mugs. Like, oh shit, that looked crazy.
I thought at first
this compared to like the Grim Reaper scene with Zoro. Yeah. I'm like, shit,
very bruh, similar. That's
pretty hard. Like,
yeah, shit is tough, man. I think the shading is scary as hell. The Awakened Zoan like cloud. It looks like transcendent, and the blood coming off the sword.
Yeah,
and then the glass, like you see his glasses shining.
Yeah,
like, that shit, bro. That shit crazy, bro.
Yeah, this nigga's scary. Yeah, these niggas are fucked.
He got a worry. Yeah, and this is definitely a scary situation. I think that Luffy and maybe Zoro Sanji, can at least keep up, compete, stay alive. Do something, you know what I'm saying? I think putting the Gorosei against the lesser Straw Hats is trouble.
I will say both these groups have like Sanji's right behind Bonnie in them, and Zoro and Jinbei are on their way to Nami in them. So like that's the only route I see these niggas having any sort of life beyond the next chapter.
Yeah, no, I agree. Because I think with Luffy, Zoro, Sanji at the helm, and maybe them providing support is definitely possible. But these two groups by themselves, I don't see it happening. You know, so they're definitely going to need a miracle or some help or something.
Yeah, you got the weekly trio dealing with Saturn, and then you got not as weak, but let's be real, they're not touching.
I don't believe the Gorosei level, and especially against this guy.
This guy Venus Drew is a problem.
He's looking rough, man.
Yeah, this dude.
I actually wouldn't be as surprised if the weakling trio not defeated Saturn, but maybe did some damage, incapacitated, knocked him off the island or whatever. Because we also got to think that Saturn has been fighting for a minute.
Yeah.
Longer than the other Gorosei they have.
Facts.
So, just something to keep in mind.
The chapter starts with them saying all the pacifists have been destroyed, or defeated and tranquilized because of this guy, Venus Duro, and his ice power. And the chapter also says there's 4 minutes left from the broadcast at that point. He started doing this with 7 minutes left in the broadcast. It took him 3 minutes to get around the entire perimeter of the island and destroy the entire pacifist fleet.
Yeah, that is absolutely insane. And this dude immediately ASAP like went ham on the entire island of pacifistas and shit. And I honestly don't know what Bonnie's about to do in this situation, because this dude want her gone. He's like, nah, you not leaving as this much of a nation threat. You going down today. This is so crazy. Bro, this is so crazy. I don't know what's going to happen.
I'm glad you gave Nami and Usopp and Chopper a little bit of a shout out. I think they're like a tricky characters to fight. Especially Nami and Usopp have like weird abilities that might throw them off guard and give them the ability to escape, bro.
Yeah, maybe knock them off. There's definitely something unconventional could definitely happen with them.
I think that's their best hope, is just knocking him off the island. Yep. All three of them maybe can just manage that. Not defeat him, but at least get him out of their way.
Yeah. Frankie and Bonnie, they're fucked.
Yeah, somebody else can help them. Somebody come help them, please. I don't know what they're about to do.
Yeah.
Brooke's there too, right?
Brooke is with
Bonnie? No.
No, yeah, because they're at the Sunny, right?
No, but they should all be at the Sunny, so they should be somewhere in the vicinity.
Brooks
at the Sunny. Okay,
There's definitely more people at the Sunny than with these guys on the ground.
These niggas are fucked.
Yeah, these guys are who I'm really scared for. Frankie, Bonnie, and them. These guys are who I'm really scared for more than anything.
I don't know what's about to happen with that. Maybe Jinbei and Zoro can jump in here, right? Because where were they on the way to? Do y'all remember that?
Jinbei and Zoro are both near Saturn. So like, there's already a lot of people there. They don't really need too much help. These guys, Sanji might be close to them. That's the only hope.
I know, because we all want to see that Zoro versus Venus matchup.
I wish it was switched.
That would have been so sick if they switched. I would love to see that.
It might not even be like those guys, like the main fighters that come giving them a boost. There might be the ancient robot that might target them because he knows they're the Celestial Dragons. Who knows?
Yeah.
Bro.
Go ahead.
Let's just finish the chapter and then think about what's going to happen.
Yeah. Okay. Well, there's only one panel left. Half a panel left. We get Mars.
Yeah. Oh, had Mars. You had it. You had it, bro.
I didn't believe in myself.
Believe in yourself, Kelly. You know better.
I should have believed in myself. We have Mars finally making it up to Punk Records. 1 minute left on the clock before the broadcast is broadcasted. Mars finally finds the triangle shaped transponder snail. He remarks that fortune was not on your side today, Vegapunk. But as he remarks this, we hear a glub, blub, gargling noise. And in this last panel before the chapter ends, we see Mars kind of looking up, looking out, looking at something in front of the snail.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how you guys want to call his face, but I think the lines over his eyes
looks ominous.
Yeah, it looks ominous. Like he's a little bit, what's the word? Negatively shocked. I don't know what the word is I'm looking for here.
Apprehensive?
Perplexed?
I like the word apprehensive. He's definitely apprehensive about whatever he sees in front of him. So there's something in the room with them.
Yeah, there's these noises that I originally thought were the snail, but there's no like line pointing to the snail.
Yeah,
and it's so what's crazy is that we've been on this island for like 50, 60 chapters, and This is the first time we're in the Punk Records room where Vegapunk's brain is.
Yeah.
That's true.
And it's all pitch black. Like, Oda is obviously hiding something in here. I'm assuming it's not just his brain. And I wonder if, like, this transponder snail is set here to display whatever this thing is to the world. Yeah, just crazy. That it's like, there's something up here for sure.
Because, Kyle, you brought up that it was the triangular snail, because I know that's what York said, but it doesn't look like a triangular shell. Like, it's... I know they kind of changed the angle, so you can't really tell if it's triangle or not, but now that you said it, Y-Hus, it looks like there's a camera on it, so it's going to show something, which is actually a good point.
I think the face is supposed to be the triangle.
I thought it was the shell. Let me go back.
Like, the shell itself, where it says SSG and there's, like, a vent thing, like, it, you can see maybe some spirals, and you could argue that's, like, a pyramid kind of cone-esque shell, but... Okay. Because all she said was triangle, spiral shell. Yeah. I don't know where exactly it is, but...
Yeah, I'm trying to find it.
But, like... Oh, yeah. You can recognize it, the middle panel. You can recognize it by its triangle, spiral shell.
Okay, pardon me. I definitely thought it was the face. Okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So it's like the cone kind of... I'm assuming it's this thing.
Well, it has to be. Well, I guess it doesn't have to be, because Mars is saying that here it is, but he could be wrong.
Yeah, so...
Better, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, so this ending has convinced me. Vegapunk got these niggas. This is not the fucking transponder snail that he's looking for.
Yeah. Okay. I think so, too.
Do you think York is in on it? Like, York is betraying the
Universe? No. He got York too somehow.
Okay. All right.
Maybe he didn't upload this to Punk Records. Maybe none of the satellite know.
Because I know that was the thing that people were thinking, that York also double crossed the Gorosei, you know?
She brought too much havoc upon this island to turn back now. Like, she snitched on all these niggas.
I'm just saying that.
Fair. I don't see that, but, I guess there. So, I think we all had the idea before when we heard about this broadcast was that, okay, let's say that it is on the island. Maybe they'll get a lot of the broadcast off, but the last damning thing, the Gorosei might succeed in cutting it off. But now, there's a minute left before the broadcast starts. Mars is right in front of this fucking snail. This snail's not living one of these blasts that he just did earlier, right? He can destroy this right now, stop everything. You
just stamp on it, yeah.
Yeah, stamp on this, and it's not, and so it's over. But this, we know, like, we're going to get some of the broadcast, I'm assuming. Unless Oda is going to tease us like never before, which I don't see him doing.
I can definitely see the next chapter ending with we're about to start the broadcast, you know?
And he steps on it? No, I don't mean that. I mean, now that he's seeing the snail, his next course of action is obviously to destroy it, which would stop the broadcast. So I'm saying, I think that means, and I truly believe we're going to get some of the broadcast at least. Otherwise, Oda has wasted the last five chapters. So I think it's going to start, and this snail is not going to be the right snail. And I obviously thought, I said earlier, I think it's going to be on the island dragon.
I don't think it's the right snail either, but I do think that he's confident that, well, hold on, whatever he's looking at, it is like, he said this must be it. So, like, I'm guessing that there's something he's looking at that makes him convinced that this is the broadcast. That's what I'm thinking. Because he said it seems, you know, fortunate and favor you this time, Vegapunk. So he's pretty confident.
Oh, when he says here it is, I think he's just referring to what York told him. Yeah, York told him, yo, triangular cone, a triangular spiral shell snail. He's looking at one. He's like, oh, here it is. I won, you know? But like you said, it's not the snail. I'm assuming, yeah, there might be something up here. Maybe this was another setup that Vegapunk was going to switch to. He's going to, yo, look at this thing in the lab. That's the damning thing, and then maybe Mars will have to short this setup, and so maybe they won't get this thing off, whatever's up here. I could see that happening.
But also, the fact that that we keep seeing this glub, blub, it sounds like something's underwater, or, you know, like...
Gurgle, whatever.
Yeah. So, like, there's some living thing. I mean, we know his brain is up here. I don't know how much noise a huge brain would make. I could see it make a lot of noise. It's the size of the island, right?
Bro, it's so crazy. I can't even, like, what do you guys think, man? Like, it could be, if it's something that's going to, you know, make Mars look the way he is, right? You know, like, mm-hmm. What if there was like a previous Gorosei member and he had like the body or some shit like that? Like,
I've heard
that's dark.
That is dark. I've heard stuff like Lily's body, Mega, like Nefertari D. Lily, which obviously I was thinking it could be something even like, you know, more Void Century esque, you know, maybe like the original people from the Ancient Kingdom or something like that, like some relic, maybe a Poneglyph or some shit. I have like, who fucking knows, man?
Yeah, I
have not the slightest clue. I'm not gonna lie. I originally thought that maybe this was the correct transponder snail, and that the noise was something there that's possibly guarding it. But I kind of think you guys' theory makes more sense.
I didn't even think about that first thing, honestly, though. That's kind of like a possibility.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. And then before we got the officials, when the translation for that one line that York said was, we don't want to rack up on sins, and there was that whole theory that there was another Vegapunk that was the seventh sin to represent seven deadly sins, whatever. That last Vegapunk would be in Punk Records defending the transponder snail.
Yeah, that would have been crazy.
That was the original.
ECB breaking ankles as usual.
Bro, breaking the fuck out of ankles. I think I like your guys' theory a little bit more than I can't lie.
I will say when I first read it, I thought like maybe it was a fake out receiver snail, like, you know what I mean? Like it's actually like it's pinpointing that it's coming from there, but it's actually going like it's coming from somewhere else type of shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, he spoofed his IP address, definitely.
Yeah. And then
putting in work right now.
That's our next sponsor for this video, actually. Yeah.
And then in front of him is like an explosion or like, you know, some fucking thing that's gonna blow up on Mars or whatever, and then off a whole chain reaction.
Yeah, that really reminds me that we get I think this is, I don't, maybe we heard where it is before we go. Now we know like which of the floors the power plant is on, and I'm assuming the power plant is where they were creating the mother flame. That's what Emu wanted from York. So yeah, it really could have been a nuclear explosion. It could have obliterated everything on the island if stuff went wrong, if Mars did the wrong thing. So I would hope Vegapunk wouldn't blow this whole shit up, which is pretty sad to think about if that was like a last self-destruct thing. I'm assuming you already thought he died. So.
Yeah, I also wouldn't be surprised. I think that's actually a pretty plausible finish to this arc, is if Punk Records in its entirety is destroyed. Because at this point, it's already halfway destroyed. It's getting rampaged through. There's a bus to call here, so... Even if Vegapunk doesn't destroy it, this island is not going to survive barely.
And plus, I feel like he wouldn't want anyone, the military especially, to get their hands
on the info,
Exactly.
Yeah. It would also, like, condemn, like, maybe even the Giants or... Yeah, just, I mean, I guess the Giants are all we have to worry about because he took their lab, their info from them, right? From the Books of O'Hara and stuff. So, yeah, destroying the lab is low-key... He might set that power plant off.
That's why I do believe more and more that when he hit up Dragon earlier, like that was like an earlier time, and he sent over that shit.
Yeah, man. Come on. I completely agree.
That would be crazy. That'd be crazy.
Yeah, I think so too, because that would make sense as to why.
Why hit him up? Why Odisha would even show that? Yeah.
Yeah, like Shaka saying, like, I'm going to die soon. And. You know, if a kill switch was like, you know, here this whole time, you know, then yeah, maybe he knew that some shit was going to go down, and you know, they had to send it over or whatever. I just don't know how he accounted for it, like the Gorosei actually being there. You know what I mean? Because in the original broadcast, it said that we don't want to do this an hour later because then the message will be intercepted and, you know, whatever, if we give it a whole hour before we say what we got to say. So then he was like, all right, well, 10 minutes. So,
yeah,
but in 10 minutes, the Gorosei has swooped in, cleaned up house, and is now at the presumed snail.
Yeah.
And I just don't know how Shaka accounted for that. And just like,
I would say, like, kind of like what we talked about, how we were wondering how the Black Papyrus knew that a Gorosei was going to be there. We're like, yo, how did they know? Like, because they got his Katarina Devon touched Saturn and said mission complete. So we were like, oh, how did they know? I think kind of like that, because we concluded that they probably didn't know, and they just saw like a high authority figure, which is what they were going for, but not that high. They just lucked out that it was someone at the top of the food chain. Kind of like this, where like, because the recording goes off when he dies. So I'm assuming he thought CP9 or CP0 was the ones that will be killing him in his lab.
Yeah.
Which was supposed to be the plan, right? Which was supposed to be what was supposed to happen if the Straw Hats didn't come. So I think his defenses just worked out better than, you know, the Luffy ended up being here. I think if they sent the Gorosei and Luffy wasn't here, like, the whole island would probably be wiped out by now.
Yeah, true, true. You're right. Luffy is that factor that does make it more chaotic or more crazy, more unpredictable to the whole circumstance in general. But so are the Gorosei.
The Gorosei snapped, man. This is what forced their hand. The broadcast. That's really what forced their hand.
Yeah.
But we see now firsthand that if the Gorosei feels like that their own military force is too incompetent to handle it, they are actually quite scary as a group. I feel like they could take down any like nation by themselves if they wanted to. But
bro, 1000%, bro.
Like that precision, that power, it's actually kind of crazy.
Like, especially like what they all show, like how they've, like, just the haki, like Mercury stopping Luffy's Red Rock. Yeah. Saturn's poison. They're just problems, bro.
Yeah, and then turning into the premier group, a villain group.
Right, yeah, now. And then on top of that, you have to think this was kind of a flex for them because this was all under 10 minutes. Under 10 minutes.
Yeah, insane, like, bro.
That's
actually crazy to think about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's definitely wicked. Gorosei are definitely a problem. Gotta wait till
adjust your top 30.
Yo, Fox. We definitely
have to make that new list sooner than later. I ain't gonna lie to you.
Things are changing very quickly.
I
feel like we've run through
more or less went through everything in the chapter. Is there anything else you guys wanted to bring up before we wrap it up?
Nah, not really. I think I honestly got through all my talking points, period.
Hey.
All right, let's wrap it up. Very late episode today. Hope you guys enjoyed. Big shout outs to everybody that was in the Twitch chat and the YouTube chat. If you don't watch these episodes live, you need to pull up and watch them live. Hang out with us, talk to us. We here. It's lit. You feel me?
Hell yeah.
Big shout outs to everybody listening to this on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Spotify Podcasts, Podbean, etc. We appreciate you guys as well. Make sure you guys follow the Straw Hat Sit Downs on all socials at Straw Hat Sit Down on Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, TikTok. If you look for us, you will find us. All right. W episode. It was nice to be back, man. It's always nice to talk about a chapter, especially off a long ass break like that, man. That was definitely a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
We will be back next week with a chapter. Is there a chapter next week?
Yes. No break.
W. So we will be back next Sunday with another chapter review. I guess that's about it. Hope you guys enjoyed the episode. Until next time, you guys take it easy, be safe, be healthy. We appreciate you guys, and we will see y'all when we see y'all. Peace.
Who gonna get down? We are. This that Straw Hat Sit Down. We are. Who the crew with the fleet? We are. Who gonna piece that one piece? We are. Who gon' get down? We are. This that Straw Hat Sit Down. We are. Who the crew with the fleet? We are. Who gon' piece that one piece? We are. Straw Hat. Destroy has shit down crew in the building. We promoting to these other podcasts. We gon' put these people in their feelings when they hear this and they know that they can't top this. We spit facts and we poppin' every time an episode is dropping. We see D3 in the corner, Mister, that's a real G with the green screen in the background. Got him looking like he in a real scene. We got Big Mod in the cut, always ready with rebuttals, but he bring the knowledge when we in the huddle, so you know the crew is never gonna fumble. And it's wise, last but not least, if you ask me, then Cali, mad at Captain, make a rally around me. Every Sunday, we gon' run deep, and we can't stop until we find out about that one piece. Who gon' get down? We are.
We are.
This Destroy has sit down. We are.
We are.
Who the crew with the fleet? We are.
We are.
Who gon' piece that one piece? We are.
We are.
Who gon' get down? We are.
We are.
This Destroy has sit down. We are.
We are.
Who the crew with the fleet? We are.
We